I'll pray before we start. Father, we come before your word with open hearts and keen and listening ears. And as always, Lord, we just pray, would you speak to us? Would you shine your light in our path? Would you whisper in our ear those words we badly need to hear? Would you inspire and build up our faith? Would you reassure us who you are and who we therefore are as a result of that? And Lord, in all that is said, may the glory go to Jesus, our King and Lord. Amen. Okay, so Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Quick recap. I hope you've enjoyed this series. I'm wrapping it up today with one final great big promise. There are, of course, many more. I wonder, maybe one day there might be great big promises part two. We'll see. But the aim really all the way through this has been to fire up your faith. To remind you of the victory that Jesus won for you. And thus who you are and what you now have in Christ. To get your feet out of that slimy, miry quicksand and firmly and squarely planted back on the rock. Why flounder? I've said repeatedly, why flounder living beneath the promises when you could flourish in the fullness of the promises of heaven, if I can get my words out. So, we've been looking at the if and the then and the buts, if you can remember. So the if, what are the conditions in this promise as it is written? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. First to say, isn't this a great promise? I know this is many people's favorite, and it's a tremendous encouragement to us all. And the aim today really is to move it a step closer from great theory into daily reality in your life. And here's a thought to kick off with. A church full of people standing boldly on this promise should make the devil shudder. So, what are the conditions? I can see two. The first condition is through Christ. And the second one is who strengthens me. So firstly, through Christ. Do you know what? I have seen the results of trying to do it through Jamie. And it is thoroughly unimpressive. It definitely won't be all things. In fact, I suspect it'll be hardly anything. Certainly very little of note. And I suspect you too are acutely aware of your own limitations. However, we have Philippians 4:13. There is a different way. We can do it through Christ. And that moves it from the best I can do into the endless potential of all he can do. Through Christ moves it from flesh to spirit. It moves it from my flawed way to God's perfect way. It moves it from natural to supernatural, from resisted to graced. It moves it from powerless to powerful. So digging that just a little bit deeper, what does it really mean to do something through Christ? Three quick ideas for you. If you have your handouts, you can fill in the gaps and follow along. First of all, doing it through Christ means, number one, doing it according to his word. In other words, always walking in his principles. Here's a statement for you. If we oppose his principles, willfully or otherwise, we take ourselves out of this promise. And hence, a life-defining realization that God's word works. That God's word carries an innate and divine power and authority. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It's Jesus speaking, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Jeremiah 1 verse 12, the Lord said to me, you've seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Whose word? My word, his word, his word. You know, the can't comes when we start walking in a different direction. But when the word says bless, and instead we curse. When the word says love, and instead we judge. When the word says forgive, and instead we take offense. When the word says trust in the Lord, and instead we rush ahead. And then we wonder why we can't, when the golden promise says that we can. And the point is, if we oppose his principles, willfully or otherwise, we take ourselves out of his promises. So number one, what does it mean to do it through Christ? Number one, do it according to his word. Number two is choosing to seek his wisdom. How many times do we choose to seek our own wisdom? Fall flat on our face. So what is he saying? Where is he leading? You see, in order to do it through Christ, we have to be going where he is leading, not expecting him to follow where we are leading. You see, that's called doing it through Jamie, in which case it won't be all things. Perhaps it'll just be the things that we are naturally good at. And this is a further reminder that we must continue to cultivate our relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is without doubt the most precious thing that we possess. And then number three, through Christ, number three is relying on his grace. This really is captured by the second condition, which is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Folks, it's going to have to be his strength. It's going to have to be his empowerment, his enabling. Do you know what it feels like to be out of grace? And all you can feel is friction rather than traction. Resistance and not inertia. Stress instead of peace, leading to frustration rather than joy. Do you know, without doubt, everything changes when we learn to let go and we learn to lean on his freely available and sufficient enabling grace. Here's a scripture we all know and love and can quote. Zechariah 4 verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I love that name. They haven't got enough bubbers in it. There we go. Not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Had a look into the context of that this week. The context is Zechariah's vision of a golden lampstand and the continuous supply of oil from two olive trees. We know what oil symbolizes, don't we? The point was that the completion of the temple, which is proving to be a struggle, the completion of the temple would not be the result of human might nor human power, but the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So God says, not by might, not by strength or might or efficiency, not my own resources, my own inventory, my own skill. He said it wouldn't be by power, not by human strength, not by blood, sweat, and tears, but it would be by my spirit, Ruach, the wind, the breath, Spirit of God. In other words, not through Jamie, but through Christ who gives me strength. And if we learn to do everything through Christ, and if we learn to do everything in his strength, then Philippians 4 verse 13, all things become possible. That's the if, two ifs. What about the then? What does this promise really offer to us as believers? Well, I can do all things. Takes me back. Who here remembers the donut man? You probably don't, English folks. We have Doug over here in the United States have the donut man. And I remember one particular video. He was great. We had the donut man in Peterborough. As you can see, there's a picture of, which is just to embarrass my son there. There we go. Me and the donut man and Ollie. I didn't tell him that was coming. Sorry, Olds. Please forgive me. And in this video, he goes, how many things? And the kids in the donut repair club go, all things. And he goes, a few things? And they go, no, all things. And he goes, most things? They go, no, all things. And then he sings, which I shan't, you'll be relieved to know. I can do all things, all things, all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I want you to notice here, who is the subject of that sentence? I, the clue, can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to note, it doesn't say God can do all things. Yes, of course, there are other verses that say that. We understand that. But this particular verse says, I can do all things. And there's a subtle trap, I think. And it's this, that in our polite and self-effacing Christianity, we hide behind a very humble God can do all things. And of course, it's considered thoroughly respectable to say that. But Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can. Which means, folks, we need to muster our faith and we need to ask for boldness and we need to step into this great big promise. Don't get suckered into kind of quasi-humble, woe is me thinking. In Christ, his victory on the cross, new creation reality, we call it, determines that you are no longer a powerless sinner. You are no longer a hopeless victim. You are no longer a worm, a vapor of dust, a blip in eternity. I'll tell you who you are in Christ. In Christ, you are a dearly loved, chosen, accepted, adopted, blood washed, forgiven, righteous, Holy Spirit filled, word believing, promise walking, son or daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Alpha and Omega. And if you're a Pentecostal church and if you're awake, thank you. That would be a great time for an amen. You are all of those things, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Remember that promise a few weeks ago about us being more than a conqueror? Here's a statement for you. Any limitations are the ones that you place on yourself when you insist on doing it your way and in your strength. I'm going to say that again. Any limitations, any opposition to Philippians 4:13 in your life come when you start to do it your own way and in your own strength. You see, through Christ and in his strength, open you up to all things, to open you up to triumphant living in Christ. Folks, this is good news. Dare I say you could be even more excited about it. But, oh, those feisty buts. And so, if, then, but. So, the next part in the process each week is disempowering the buts that stand in the way and drag you off and close your eyes and shift you off target. And this morning we've got time for just one. And it's this. I chose the obvious one, I think. It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but I'm limited. And I'm sorry, be realistic. This thing in front of me, it's just too hard. So if this is you read Philippians 4:13, something like this, and please forgive me in advance. I can do nearly all things. Well, some things. Though not much, if I'm honest, because I'm pretty hopeless. A lost cause, really, irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. So, brace up, breathe in, dig deep. God's probably busy anyway. I'll bumble on, we'll just make do. What's another glorious failure to add to the list? Now, of course, I exaggerate for dramatic effect, but are you ever tempted to think maybe just a little bit like that? And if so, you need to reread this great big promise and get it imprinted in your psyche. You see, that might have been the old you, but you are now in Christ and everything has changed for you. You now stand in the promises of God. Remember the story of Paul wrestling with that thorn in the flesh. He was struggling desperately to overcome a challenge that he just couldn't seem to get past. And he kind of desperately prayed one last time, and God told him this. It's 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God essentially told him two things. Number one, my grace is sufficient. Philippians 4:13, my grace is sufficient. And secondly, my power is made perfect in your weakness. That was what God said. What was Paul's learning that he took out of that? This really, actually, he said kind of paradoxically, I've learned that my weaknesses are really an asset. Why? Because only then do I stop relying on me and start leaning on him. That's when he said, I stop trying to do it through Paul and start doing it through Christ. That's when my natural ability ends and his supernatural ability, grace, kicks in. Of course, that grace is sufficient. There is no but. Folks, your limitations, Philippians 4:13, your limitations are not a disqualification. Your limitations do not make you the one exception to this promise. Your limitations are not the limiting factor. Your failure to trust God is the limiting factor. Why? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Quick story to illustrate that, about Oliver Cromwell. When Oliver Cromwell lost his son, it was a tragic break in his life. He felt the bottom of his world had dropped out, and he went through a real emotional crisis. He asked the Lord to give him a word that would hold him through the crisis, and the word the Lord gave him was this. Ready? Shock? Surprise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So he was able to take that promise and say, I can do without my son through Christ who strengthens me. And God showed him that. Challenging though it had first appeared. Wow, challenging. He was able to do without through Christ. That he had enough inside to cope with what had been taken away outside. And I don't know if that story is 100% historically true, but the principle definitely is. Whatever it is, however hard, no matter how many times I've failed before, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If it's through Christ, and if it's in his strength. Folks, we are no longer limited to our own resources, our own wisdom, and our own willpower. I remember a Joyce Meyer video back in the days when we had a church video lending library. Video, I'll explain what that is later, young ones. Okay. And this video was called The Can Do Crew. And the line, I've never forgotten, the line said, those who say they can and those who say they can't are both right. You see, you can bear the toughest challenge. You can outlast the bleakest season. You can survive the roughest storm. You can find the strength to forgive. You can overcome that fear and anxiety. You can break that destructive habit. Why? Because Philippians 4:13 tells us that you can do all things through Christ, because he will give you the strength. He is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. He is your source and supply. He is more than able, and he is with you always. If, then, one dead but. And the question that I finished each, or two questions really, I finished each message with is, so what, and now what? Two good questions. There are two actions that unlock the promise of Philippians 4:13. And those two actions are, number one, choose to do it his way. And number two, learn to draw on his strength. Proverbs 3:5-6. Every week, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Number one, choose to do it his way. Number two, Ephesians 3:16. Paul prayed that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Number two, learn to draw on his strength. And so the next time you arrive at crunch point, you're standing at a crossroads, facing a crisis, what do? The answer is stop. Crossroads, always a good thing to do. Stop. Press pause. Don't rush ahead in your own strength. Doing it your own way, with auto response selected, old habits kicking in. You know, that way hasn't worked before, And in your heart of hearts, you know it won't work this time either. So press pause. And number one, determine to do it his way. What does the word say? Not what does your flesh say? Not what does peer pressure say? Not what does Oprah say? Or whatever the Oprah equivalent is these days. I was trying to figure that out, I'm sure. Determine that whatever the provocation, whatever the emotion, however high the mountain or deep the valley, you are going to do what the word of God says. Cling to the principles of his word by faith and refuse to be distracted. No buts, no whys or wherefores, absolutely no leaning whatsoever. I am going to do this through Christ, period. And then secondly, learn to draw on his strength. The Amplified, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. He infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. The word infused, it's a Latin word. It means poured into. Have you unstopped the bottle? Have you opened your heart so that God can pour in his inner strength, confident peace? He is the source and supply, yes. He will do the pouring, absolutely. But you need to uncork the bottle and let him pour it in. Inner strength comes in various forms. A few quick scriptures for you. Colossians 1:11. We also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power so you have all the endurance and patience you need. Inner strength. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This is the strength that's available. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Endurance and patience, strength to serve. For every deed and word, so you can stand strong against the strategies of the enemy. Ephesians 3:16 again, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in his inner, in your inner being. And the other quality that the Amplified said God infuses us with is confident peace. Scripture again, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, you know this one. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That strength, that confident peace is available to us. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule, literally umpire, in your hearts. Isaiah 32:17, the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effects will be quietness and confidence forever. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Uncork that bottle and let him pour in that peace. The peace that guards your heart and mind. The heart that rules, umpires your thoughts and decisions. And the peace that gives you clarity and confidence. Nearly there. So, last question. What about tomorrow? How does this apply to me on Monday morning? How does this transform my life this week? Try this. Everything you do this week, before you dive in, before you default to the same old, press pause and ask yourself these questions. Am I about to do this my way or his way? Am I drawing on my strength or his strength? Is it going to be through Jamie, insert own name, or is it going to be through Christ? There and then, look yourself squarely in the eye and tell yourself, I am going to do this his way, and I am going to draw on his strength. Amen. We're going to pray our declaration prayer, and then we'll set up a response time, and we'll take it from there. So why don't we stand, stretch those legs. Thank you for your patience. I've been 30 minutes, which is spot on. Happy with that. And my glamorous assistant, Steve, is going to put on the first slide. I think there's two or three slides, I can't remember. And we're going to pray this boldly together. Is that okay? You ready? Heavenly Father, today I declare that I choose to trust you completely. In every challenge and opportunity, I turn to you, knowing that you are my source and supply. I surrender my plans, agendas, and habits, committing to do it your way, even when the way forward appears difficult or unclear. Teach me, Lord, how to draw on your strength, so that even when I feel weak, I'm able to stand firmly on your promise that through Christ, I can do whatever your word demands of me. Help me not to rely on my own natural abilities, but to draw on your boundless and sufficient grace. Give me the perseverance to endure when the road is tough and the patience to wait when my flesh wants to run ahead. Fill me afresh with your spirit, so I'm ever governed by your wisdom, faith, and peace. Let your presence be my constant companion and your word my unfailing guide. Whenever I'm tempted to believe I can't, please remind me that through Christ and in your strength, I most certainly can. Strengthen my faith, deepen my trust, renew my mind so I never lose sight of your promise and never step off the rock. And may I live for your glory and your purposes this day and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can take a seat. Perhaps the worship team would like to meander their way back to the front. And this is the end of a series. So in terms of a response, that's kind of done, I think, really. You know, the truth's been presented. We've now just got to go out and do what the word says. But I've just got a couple of responses that you might want to take to the Lord this morning as you consider maybe what he's stirred in your heart. And the two questions are this. Number one is, are you a can or a can't? Are you a can or a can't? What has the Lord been showing you about that this morning? And I didn't care not to preach my message all over again, but I just encourage you to talk to him about that. Am I a can or a can't? And how does Philippians 4:13 and the revelation therein change that in me? Question number one. And question number two, shining this right into the practical. How does Philippians 4:13 influence what you are facing right now? When you roll out of bed tomorrow morning and Monday morning rears its smiling face and you know whatever it is you've got to deal with, how does Philippians 4:13 change that? What does the word demand? Where does wisdom lead? Of course, take a great big deep breath. and receive his grace and his power and his strength.